Well, good morning. You doing okay? How many enjoyed the one event? Yeah. Sounds like people enjoyed Davey's tent as well, wherever. There you go. Yeah, great. I thought it was a superb weekend. Very blessed to be a part of it and just amazing. A bit of a soggy Sunday, as Stuart called it, but other than that, I think it was pretty good. And lots of great stories coming off the back of it. It was really exciting. But a few weeks ago, probably about 6 weeks ago now, myself and Anne-Marie found ourselves in Ireland visiting Alan and Dorothy Graham. And of course, Alan and Dorothy were here a couple of months ago. And Alan has this saying, and when we arrived and he picked us up from the airport, he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing fine." I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm living the dream, baby. I'm living the dream." Well, I want to ask you this morning, are you living the dream? Are you living the dream? Any parents in here? Oh, load of you. Yeah. How many of you have ever been in that situation where you just wanted to do something for your kids, but you just didn't have the resources to do it? You did what you could, but you just wish you could do a bit more. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, quite a few of you. How many of us know that God, our Heavenly Father, never finds himself in that position? He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and he can bless you and I at any moment of any day. Are you ready for that today? Come on. So this morning I want to think about this whole thing of living the dream that God has for us, the dream that God has given you to work out, to live out. You call it vision, we call it purpose maybe, what we were referring to and thinking about last weekend at the One event. And I want us very quickly to consider sort of eight times you can find yourself in when you are pursuing the dream, the vision that God has for you. And just to reflect on that at the moment. And I love that. The first one I'm going to do is really good. Don't get worse from there. It just gets a bit more challenging sometimes. But the first one I want us to think about is the time when God just graciously gives us stuff. You know, what I was just talking about a moment ago. He just graciously blesses us. He doesn't seem to hold back. He gives us things that perhaps we could never, ever deserve or never, ever work for. But he just blesses us. And I was reflecting on that a little bit and thinking about sort of some scriptures around this. And my thought went to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, where the children of God are being encouraged by the Lord that God has a place for them, a land for them, a provision for them. And in Deuteronomy 6:10, it says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, it'll be a land that's large, it'll be flourishing, there'll be cities that you did not build." And then he says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of slavery." It's an incredible promise that God gives his children. And we know now that it comes to pass. And when it comes to pass, you get to the time of Joshua. And in Joshua 24, God is reminding his people. "So I gave you," verse 13, 24, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and the olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Do you know we're experiencing something of that as a church? How many of you know we did not build this place? If we'd had to buy the land to put, you know, to build something on it and then build something, it would have cost us an awful lot more than we've paid so far to buy and refurb it to the way that we have. How many of you know we are blessed of God? You know, yeah, God, we just need to honor God and give thanks to him. Because God, when he speaks right there in Deuteronomy, he says, don't forget God, give him thanks. Keep honoring him. Keep giving thanks for that. Let's not lose sight of God's blessing and favor. Things that we did not deserve. I love being in that experience where, wow. I remember myself and Anne-Marie coming in here. We'd signed the paper. Myself and David signed the papers, wherever he is. He's over there. You know, you sign your knife on the dotted line and you think, oh my, here we go. And we just came in here one day and it was just the two of us, myself and Anne-Marie. And we sat on that old platform that was here and the stone thing was still behind us at the time. And we were just awed by God. Just put on a worship track on an iPad. It's talking about the glory of God, and we were just, wow. There are moments in our lives where God just blesses, and you go, wow. And we must not lose sight of that. So in living the dream, you know, this is day, yeah, living the dream, baby, as Alan would say. Exciting. Let's not forget. But there is a time when we've got a dream. We've got to have a dream. At some point, somewhere along the lines, you and I have got to get that sense of who we are, what God's called us to, shaped us for. And I just believe that God loves it when we dream, when our hearts are after him. 1 Kings 8. And here, it's reflecting on King David, and it says, the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart. You know, who's David? He said, scripture records he's a man after God's own heart. And when we're people after God's own heart, that will begin to affect the dreams that we have. What is a dream? A dream is something of an aspiration. It's something that we are longing for. You know, I dream one day that, yeah, I used to dream that I'd have a Jaguar XJS. That was when I was a kid, years ago, and Jaguar XJSs came out. And in fact, my uncle bought one. Wow, it was amazing. But I dreamed I'd have it. Actually, I'm not worried about a Jaguar XJS anymore. You know, I might think of another car, but but actually, bottom line, that's not the root of who I am and what I'm called to and who you are and what you're called to. It's not material possessions. It's actually that dream of who we are in God. What is your aspiration in God? Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And there's that thing that it's been linked with, delighting yourself in the Lord. And then a bit further on, verse 7, it says, be still before him, wait patiently for him, do not fret when evil men succeed in their ways. You know, sometimes there's a bit of a waiting before, you know, when the dream comes, there's sometimes a bit of a wait. But that whole thing about, what's that delighting ourselves? What is that about? Because that seems to be intrinsically connected with the fulfillment of desires of our heart. And I think it's all about to have the pleasure of the company, to be in God's company. How many of you just love being in God's presence? I was interested with what Janet was saying a few moments ago. Just being in that place overnight, it's just a wonderful thing to experience and just to sense God's presence. And you know, there's something, as Janet said, there's something about knowing it in your head, which is great. But actually, when you just begin to, there's almost like a tangible thing that happens and you sense God's presence. I'm up for more of that. Because when we get more of that, we get tied into and tapped into more of God's dream for our lives as individuals, as a church, as God's people in this nation. And the church, or rather the nation, needs the church in this nation to be all that he can be in God. We'll come back to that in a minute. When we spend time in God's presence, it will affect our dreams. And, you know, that's why worship, as Janet was saying, is so important. I read a quote this week from A.W. Tozer, 20th century theologian, and he said this. He said, if you are bored with worship, you are probably not ready for heaven. Whoa. You ever felt bored in worship? Yeah. If you're bored in worship, you are probably not ready for heaven. Maybe God is saying to someone here this morning, what is your dream? Have you got a dream? Have you been in my presence and let my presence affect your aspirations? Number three, I think there needs to be a time when having a dream, we need to be commissioned. It's all right having a dream, but there needs to be some authority to it to say, yeah, go on, get on with it. That mandate to do whatever it is. You know, how many of us know that if we are to extend our house, put a sizable extension, I better be careful because I've got Alison and Jonathan here who are far better qualified than I to answer this stuff. But I better get some planning permission or at least consult in the first instance with building control and see what I need to do before I build, because I definitely need authority to build. Correct? Jonathan is nodding sagely at me, so yeah. So you need authority if you're going to build something, you're going to follow some sense of dream and aspiration. 1 Chronicles 22, it says there that David called for his son Solomon and charged him, gave him the authority to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. So important that we get a charge from God to do what we're called to do. In my own life, I've had a number of scriptures that I felt really important. One of them, I'll just share one of them with you, is Jeremiah 1, verse 10. See, today I point you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy, overthrow, to build and to plant. That's something I felt very personally, like something that God spoke over my life some years ago. As a church, we've had prophetic words, prophetic mandates. How many of you remember Dwayne White coming a few years ago, speaking from Jeremiah 32, 7? 6 or 7, it says, where Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, and Dwayne was speaking this over the church. He said, the word of the Lord came to me, Hanamel, your uncle is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it. When our Catholic friends heard that we were interested in buying this building, they said, of all the people who've approached us, we want you to have it. We want you to have it. They really wanted us to have it. It was like the uncle coming and saying, we want you to buy this field. And it's like fulfillment of prophetic statement, that mandate, that authority to do it. So there's that sense of needing to sense the call and commission of God to get on with something. So, and then number four, I think, you know, when we're fulfilling a dream, there is a time when we're going to have to give something. It's going to cost us. I mean, you know, fulfilling a dream is going to be a cost to it. It'll be time, it'll be energy. It could be emotional energy. It could be physical energy. It could be finance. Anybody ever watch the programs? There's a couple of programs I like to watch. Grand Designs. I don't know whether there's any new series out. I haven't seen a new series recently. But the other program is called Building the Dream. Anybody seen that one on TV? A guy called Charlie Luxton hosts that. And what they do with both those TV series, Grand Designs and Building the Dream, is they follow people building houses. I think that's what a great aspiration, what a great thing to be able to do if you've got the opportunity to do it. But it's interesting when you watch those series and those programs, there are two things that commonly occur. Firstly, the people who've never built a house before say, we're going to build this in 12 months. We're going to build it in 15 months. And they estimate how long it's going to build. And inevitably, it takes far longer than they ever dreamed. Yeah? And then they're asked, what is your budget for the build? And they'll say, however many £100,000 it might be. And inevitably, I would say 90% of the programs or the people that these programs track, 90% take far longer than they ever dreamed or imagined and spend far more than they ever dreamed or imagined as well. Yeah? There's a cost involved. Scripture, in fact, it's Jesus who said in Luke 14, 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. He says, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? So yeah, estimate. Figure out what is the cost going to be? What are the implications on my life? What are the implications physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially? What is the cost in terms of my relationships and family? There's usually a cost to fulfill a dream. But here's the thing. If it's a God-given dream, God will give you the resources to be able to fulfill the dream. Listen to what it says in 1 Chronicles 29, 16. It says, O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand. And all of it belongs to you. So actually, what they're saying there is we're really stewards of what God's put in our hands and what are we going to do with it and how are we going to release it to fulfill the dream that God has called us to. Each one of us has 168 hours every week. Each one of us has a certain amount of time, energy, skills, ability. And each one of us has a certain amount of finance. What are we doing with the resources that God has put in our hands and in our lives to fulfill the dream? There's usually a cost. And maybe for somebody here today, there's a cost that God is calling you to. You know, I look at what's happened over the last 11 months. We've been here, well, it'd be 12 months. We've owned this place at the end of the month, the end of September. And the last 11 months, when I look at the investment of time, energy, skill, ability, and finance, I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody who's been very much a part of that. I'm deeply honored and humbled by what's happened over the last 12 months, nearly. And maybe somebody here today, God's calling you. You know, sometimes God catches you out, doesn't he? Let me just get some. I meant to get it on my briefcase. Hold on. Last weekend at the One event, I don't know if you were in the meeting where Joe Gibbsy from Lynx International got up and was sharing some of the stuff. And him and a couple of the other guys started throwing out these little globes. And I was sat on the front row, and the speaker who was due to speak on Tuesday morning, Deborah Green, was sat right next to me, and these globes were flying about. And all of a sudden, this globe came flying, and it was going straight at the face of Deborah Green. And I must have been in my old cricketing days in the slips, and I just went, boom, and caught it. She went, wow. And I thought, yeah, that was pretty good. And then I thought, perhaps there's something significant about that. And then I read what it says on here. Not to get my glasses out, really. It says, Lynx International, there you go. How will you change the world? You know, it's okay what we've done so far, but what about now? What dream has God given me now? What dream has given you now? How will you change the world? So there's a cost involved, but also there comes a point, I think, when in terms of dream fulfillment, when we've got to state our intentions. State our intentions. And I think there's a balance between humility and boldness. That's not an always easy one for us to get right, and sometimes people misread where we're at. But in 2 Chronicles 2:15, Solomon says this. He makes this incredible statement. He said, "The temple I'm going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods." That's the temple. I'm going to build an incredible temple. I don't know. And then he gets really bold, and verse 9, he says to Hiram, king of Tyre, "Provide for me with plenty of timber, because the building I'm going to build is going to be large and magnificent." So let's everybody get our ducks in order. Let's get the stuff ready. We're going to build this amazing place. And by all accounts, it was. How many believe it's time to make God famous again in our nation? Helen Azar at the One event last weekend prophetically said this. She said, you know, talking about influencing the nation, and we get in our little corners and we do our little things, and she said this. She said, you've got to realize with God, the mission is possible. The mission is possible. With God. Historically, we as a church have been told prophetically that City Church will represent one day something that's large and magnificent. I don't think what we're sat in is it. I think it's more than that. I think there's more going to be going on. Let me make a statement, because, you know, talking about stating an intent. Back in 2010, we declared some things with regard to City Church that was to do with what we called our 2020 vision. So things in a 10-year period. and we talked about various things, and lots of those things have come to pass. And one of those things that wasn't coming to pass was having our own building and facilities, except, well, now that's come to pass. But we stated some things. One of the other things that we stated back in 2010 was this. And that by 2020, we are going to see significant growth in the church. Now, what is significant? Back in 2010, when we made those statements as a leadership and over the church, our average Sunday attendance was 122. That was for the year 2010. The average Sunday attendance this year so far has been 152. That's 30 people more, which is a 25% increase in 8.5 years. Now, that's great. I'm not sure it's significant, but it's great. And we ought to thank God for that, and we ought to bless God for that. I think there's more than 152 in here with the kids added on today. But I'll say a bit more about that in a minute. But at some point along the line, when God gives us a dream, when God gives us something, a vision to go for, we've got to be able to have some boldness in God and actually make some statements and say, we're going to do this. We believe God's called us to do this. And we state some things. And praise God, thanks be to God, that a lot of those, most of those things that we stated in 2010 have come to pass. And I just thank God for that. And I'm blessed and amazed. And even in our own lives, things that, there's just a time sometimes where you've just got to speak some things out and declare some things and proclaim some things. And then, of course, there comes a time when we've got to build. When, you know, we've got the dream, we've stated our intentions, we've counted the cost, and we actually start to build. James chapter 2, verse 14 says this, faith without works is dead. Or the NLT, the New Living Translation, puts it this way. What's the use of you saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? At some point, you got to do something. At some point, you and I have got to get off our backsides and do something. 1 Kings 5:18, going back to that building of the temple in the Old Testament, the craftsmen of Solomon and Hiram and the men of Gebel cut and prepared the timber and the stone for the building of the temple. Work started. Some point there's got to be something that kicks into action. But let's not lose sight of what this is all about, who this is all about. We're here to honor God. We're here to glorify him. So unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Let's not lose sight of that. You know, going back to those TV programs, often people who project manage their own buildings, if they've never done it before, get into all sorts of problems. You know, when we made that declaration that we're going to go for this place, that very Sunday after the service, the most wonderful thing happened. Andy Dipple came to me and he said, David, would you like a project manager for all the work to be done? I said, yes, please. Snapped his hand off. It is not me. It's not my skill set. Got our provision already. He said, well, I've finished work, and now I'm available. I can do it. If we bought it 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But I'm available now, and there have been other guys as well who've been able to step in and do that. But we must not lose sight. To actually fulfill our dreams, our God-given dreams and aspirations, then we're going to need God's help. And we're going to have to keep going back to him. That's one thing I hope we've done and I think we've done as a church over the last 12 months. We've not lost sight of God. We've not been all consumed by a building. We keep wanting to honor him. We keep looking for his miraculous input, as Andy was reminding us earlier on this morning. And then I think sometimes there's a time, you know, in fulfilling dreams that sometimes God just wants to restore some stuff. Something that perhaps was dreamt before. I believe God wants to restore some things to his church in this season in which we live. Amos 9, talking about Israel's restoration, verse 11, it says, in the day that I will restore David's fallen tent, we were talking about that about 3 weeks ago, I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it was, as it used to be. You know, there's a great Christian heritage in our nation. And I was so encouraged last Tuesday morning when Deborah Green was speaking at the One event prophetically, and she got the girl from the worship team who was quite heavily pregnant, yeah, a girl called Jude. and started prophetically speaking that, you know, there's a birthing coming and it will announce a multiplication with regard to what's happening in the churches of the network of ground level, of which we are very much a part of. That was an exciting declaration. About 3 hours later, there was a birth. My daughter, Steph, gave birth to a little baby girl. And it was announced in the afternoon celebration. It was really funny, and the whole place erupted. But there's just something about something coming to birth, God is saying. He's gonna bring some things to birth. And then she started, Deborah Green was talking in a prophetic word about keys. And Mark, who's been leading the meeting this morning, painted me a picture. It's on my wall in the office at Freeman Street with some keys on it. And that has been something that God has revisited with me, not just keys for buildings, of which we've got quite a few when you look at this place and the other buildings on this site, but some keys to unlock some things over areas and for towns and for cities and for regions. And I believe God wants to give keys to his church. And she talks about this whole thing about multiplication. And she said it's going to be a significant level that you have not seen before. So that 25% that we've seen between 2010 and where we are now, 8.5 years, I believe is God's on about eclipsing that. Anybody with me with that? Eclipsing that for his honor and for his glory. And she talked about going into Germany and Europe. And she said, this intrigued me. She said, where you've walked, and you've walked over and over again, the ground is now ready to produce a harvest. Well, myself and Anne-Marie and the family have been back here 23 and a half years, having lived in Cheshire for a while. And we've done a fair bit of prayer walking along the length and breadth of northeast Lincolnshire a number of times. And I just believe this time that there's something about to happen across the church in this area. And I just want to hear and keep moving in step with what God wants to do. So I'm all for that. And God's, you know, there's some great stories historically about what God's done in this area, but it's often said the best is yet to come. How many of us actually want that and believe that? You know, when God spoke to his people about restoring the temple back in Haggai's day, in Haggai 1, he said, go up to the mountain, bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. And then if you get to chapter 2, God makes this statement. When they built the house, he said, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. This place, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. You know, we've heard of revivals, we've heard of great stories of thousands of people coming to Christ in this area and in this nation. Maybe there's something being restored. If we are up for it as the Church of Jesus Christ, if we are open for it, if we're open to the dream of what God wants to do, then, wow. I was excited to hear last weekend that over 100 children and young people gave their lives to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Anybody else get excited about stuff like that? Because these kids and young people, they're going to have challenges in their teenage years and children, adolescence and all that. But if they can get locked into God right at this very early age, it can transform the whole outlook of their lives. It can transform this nation because they're going to bring something as the next generation coming up. God wants to restore some things. Perhaps the musicians would come back. Final thing, with all this stuff about dreams and living the dream, with all those things we've just been elaborating on, there comes a time where we've got to decide. There's a time to decide. You know, when Stephen was facing martyrdom in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 7, he was hauled up before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the day. And he got the opportunity to speak, and he said these words, and he reminded them of their history. In verse 45 of chapter 7, Acts, it says, having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations that God drove out before them. So that tent they brought into the land that God had given them. It remained in the land until the time of David. David enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, and this is Stephen speaking now, he says, however, the Most High God does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me? What are you and I going to build? What are you personally going to build? What am I personally going to build? What are we going to build together? What is the dream that God has put on your heart to be fulfilled in your life? And I want us just to leave that question hanging there for a moment. I want to pray. So why don't you stand and we pray? And maybe for some this morning, it's a time just to acknowledge this is a time of God's blessing. Undeserved, but God is just blessing, and just to give thanks for him. And if you've never come into that understanding of what it is to be a child of God, then come and have a chat with us afterwards. We'd love to help you on that journey of finding a place with him, being a child of God. Maybe for some of you here today, you need to get a dream. You need to get a dream. It's time to dream, and it's time to get in God's presence, and it's time just to linger there a bit longer than perhaps you would normally do. For some here, maybe you know what the dream is, and the Lord is actually giving you a mandate to get on with something and to do something, and he's giving you authority to do it. And for some, maybe you recognize there's a cost, and maybe now is the time where that cost is going to be drawn upon on your life. Go for it. Could I encourage you, whatever that is, if it's a God-given dream, then just rely on God. Have some faith in him, and he will provide. For some, maybe today, in this season, it's a time to state your intention. What has God put in your heart? To actually begin to speak it out. And maybe for some, it's time to get off you and get on with it. Just to get going. You know God's called you to do it. You know you've got the mandate to do it. You just got to get going. And for some, maybe it's time that God's going to restore some things. Maybe bringing back to life some dreams that you've had historically. Or maybe to outwork a dream that somebody else has had that seems to have fallen. Maybe God's calling somebody here. But for all of us, it's time to decide. What kind of house are we going to build? So, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your amazing blessing over our lives and as individuals and as a church. And, Lord, we just want to keep walking in your favor. We want to keep walking according to your will and your purposes and your dreams for our lives. And so, Father, across this congregation, I pray wherever we are at as individuals, whatever stage we may be at in our journey with you, I pray, Lord, there'd be a fresh confidence coming upon your people today to be all that they can be in you. And Lord, would you birth fresh dreams where those need to be birthed? Lord, would you bring provision where that needs to be brought right now? As people have stepped out, bring provision, I pray. And Father, where you want to restore some things, Lord, we want to be ready to help and work alongside you and do what we can to fulfill those dreams and aspirations that you have on your heart for us as a nation and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.